evening, everybody out there. Hopefully our sound is stable. Are we stable, guys? I can't see you guys in the chat room. That's a good thing. We have everything is broken down pretty much at this point, guys. This is our lots of work will be done in the next few days. That'd be a good thing. So I'm hoping, praying everything goes according to plan. You guys know how things do work, right? I'll tell you this, a lot of people are enduring flooding right now. You folks on the East Coast, I hope that you're paying attention to your local forecasts. Everybody from Texas onward, hope that you guys pay attention in the next 24 hours. Some very brutal weather may develop. That will also happen for those states like Tennessee, Kentucky, Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio. Those places are in that corridor for some for the formation. Some of these storms. Colorado, Kansas, Nebraska, Oklahoma, Texas, of course. They've had so much water, but many of them, lots of them saw that coming. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. Actually, some people wrote in the COT, and they wanted to thank us for some of the warnings we get by way of weather. They actually moved on it, and when they did so just in time. Some of the people in Mississippi and Louisiana, Alabama, parts of Georgia, same thing. It's very, very humbling, it is. But it's also, I'm very thankful that the Lord can still use us for things, you know, for people's sake. Because sometimes, you have to admit, sometimes a lot of this talk is difficult to swallow, right? It is. But when people do pick up things, I'm very thankful that they were able to maneuver and avoid some things. Some people can, of course. It doesn't take away from them. But it's only beginning, right? It's only beginning. And my opinion is that we have to, it'd be good to analyze this weather and get used to the conditions. They are building, right? They are building. And as they build, more people will have an idea of how to handle that, right? It's a shame, too, folks, because after all this water, after all the water we're going to experience, probably in 2024, and then all of a sudden the water is going to shut off, then all of us are going to miss these days when we had rain. Can you imagine the rain stopping? Can you imagine that? All over the earth, no rain. Just imagine. All over the earth, no rain. That will be devastating. Right? Very devastating. So, but that's what we're headed towards. Now, you don't have to worry about that, not having water. But for this next 72 hours, 3 days, of course, the Gulf and some of the moisture from California, some of the cold streams from Canada are causing some very severe conditions. In fact, tomorrow you guys are going to see the formation of some pretty high, pretty threatening weather conditions form all over the place. And so make sure that you're paying attention to your local forecasts. Make sure that you're paying attention to your advisories and weather alerts. Please make sure of that. Please make sure. We're getting set up as fast as we can, so then I don't have to continue saying that. You can just simply log into your account and everything will come to you. I'm sure, hopefully, other sites are doing the same thing. I hope they do that. And right? I hope they do. But I hope they also know that public sensors are going to be, they're going to be chopped off, which is not going to be good. In other words, there are public sites that people use to accumulate data, and they're really good at analyzing data. Right, all that data, all those sponsored websites that host some of that scrubbed data, they're going to be shut off. Nobody will have access to anything. So, but between that time and this time, I want you guys to remember something, so that you do not have a conniption fit over some of the data that you see coming back, some of the anomalies that you see form. The data that you're seeing is not real time, right? It's not real time. It just isn't. Now, most of that data goes through process, just like the ISS video, right? It's being scrubbed in real time before anybody sees it. It's going through active filters, living filters, I refer to them as. And so is that data on the internet, because they can see what you see, right? At any time, they can freeze that data. You'll be working from an old data set. So they have absolute control over that data. So it's not like you're seeing a mistake or anything, no. Some of these things are purposed. You just have to figure out why, in a lot of cases, right? Why let some weird things slip through? Why? That's what you have to figure out. That's what you have to determine. Do they end up taking it off the system as far as storage? Of course they do, right? They will scrub the thing clean. Of course, there is a repository of data where you can pull some of those, all the anomalies back up again. You can pull them back up again. You can pull them all back up again, which is so funny. So they'll leave, say, for example, SOHO. You may not see it on SOHO anymore, but you can go back to their respiratories and pull that data up. You can pull the same anomaly up. You can recreate everything you want to see, right? But just keep in mind, they know what you're seeing, right? If that were my system, and I didn't want people to see something that will cause their imaginations to run wild or something like that, I could filter that data easily. So easy, right? And that's, you know, some of these guys, they are very, you know, that's all they do is filter. So they know what they're doing, right? Again, you have to figure out why. Why? It's up there. Why you're seeing it. Sometimes they don't care. Sometimes it means nothing. Sometimes it's a data echo. Sometimes it's caused by collisions, data collisions. Sometimes it's just part of the interpreter, right? Of how they render graphics, and then when those graphics are rendered with real-time data, it is scaled, and in that scaling process, oftentimes, sometimes, it hits the wrong algorithm, and it's scaled differently. Sometimes it's right on the money. Oftentimes, when you see an anomaly, especially as of late, they're very real. They're not fake. They're real. They're not echoes. That's real data. Right? But why would they want anybody to see that? Why? Well, they're good people that run those systems. Sometimes good people, right? If a good person is behind that chair and they want people to see something, they're desperately hoping that people see something, right? They're going to have that run for a little bit and then you won't see it anymore. Keep that in mind too. So it's not all, especially in today's world, some of this data coming back is not a bunch of stuff. It's real. But the nature of the data is so ambiguous, so strange, right? It's very difficult for people to put together some sort of explanation as to what it actually is. You will see. You will see. Don't worry. Some people have come very close. Some people may have hit right on target. The problem is, there's going to be no confirmation until you see it with your eye. The one thing they will not do is give confirmation. They won't do that. Even the independent people who thought they could get that data out to you, like Elon Musk, was stopped in his tracks, right? No matter how much money you have, that's irrelevant. Money will not buy you protection from certain people, right? And when it comes down to it, people want to continue to live or their dreams die. Pure and simple. So keep those things in mind. But, and the lastly, always anchor whatever you see by the Bible. Haven't you guys noticed that those things you have learned or saw outside of the Word of God have become useless? There are people right now who want to, say for example, you have these folks out here in this New Age religion stuff, right? Where they, through geometry, they're trying to solve everything. They don't even understand the history of where that came from. That's Masonic jargon, and they have no idea what they're doing, right? For example, if you go through of existence, right? If you go through those 12 layers of existence, that is Masonic. That's from the Masons. That's where it's from. By the way, the Masons I'm talking about are the Masons that think that Lucifer is wholesome and perfect and is the freedom of man. That's what they believe. Yeah, that's their stuff. They define the world in levels of 13 and 12. They define the human experience as being in 12 different dimensions or multiple dimensions, right? They define different realities, and that stuff is leaked out into the world, and these young kids are eating it up, and they're trying to make sense of it. And then it is so sad to see a Christian actually attach themselves to that info, right? God told them the truth. They're just, sometimes things are so simple, we can accept it. So, for example, what if God said, let there be light? And then light and matter popped up all over the place. That's too simple, right? People want to know the mechanisms behind how God did it. Need I remind you, that's what Satan does. Satan is not satisfied with the fact that God the Father is God the Father, right? He challenges how God is the Father. And through humanity, he will cause you to question everything about the Father in that sense of perception. Now, if you fall prey to that, you're going to go on this journey, right, that looks like you're going to find every key of life and you'll have zero keys. You're going to run around in circles in somebody else's knowledge, and you will be trapped in somebody else's prison. Let me say that one more time. More and more people every day are being trapped in somebody else's knowledge. What I mean by that, if somebody writes a detailed book and gives you this fascinating mathematical explanation of life, and you happen to believe it, you're going to be trapped in that person's knowledge. Somebody said, wait, did you make a mention to the 12 realms? I wanted to ask you about that after hearing the term in the archive that you held up. Yeah, that's one is from the Gnostics. The Masons deal with the rest of it. They deal with the rest as far as realms go. The Gnostic Gospels were made by people who believed that by works you were to make it. They've even distorted the story of those who are part of the Essenes. They have distorted the true root of the Essenes. I have never seen everything in today's society. Everything is upside down, backward. They're calling evil good. They're calling it good, and it's not good, right? Let me ask you guys this. If you guys knew every single level to existence, right, whether there was one, two, or three, or 20, if you knew all of them, how would that change your life? How would it change your life? Would it change your life? Is it going to get you out of a situation? Is it going to change your world? Is it going to cause you somehow to be healed? You know what the answer is? No. If you knew the way to heaven, you still wouldn't be healed. Do you know that? And do you know why? See, a lot of people believe that if they can believe they're healed, they're going to be healed, right? They're forgetting about one thing. One thing. Our Father holds the lock and key to the activities of faith and of non-faith. So if our Father does not declare it upon you, it will not be upon you, period. A man can never circumvent those declarations of the Most High. It still must go through him. There are false miracles, right? Lying signs and wonders that appear to be authentic, but they are not. I've seen people appear to be healed and they fall apart again. God doesn't work that way. You're not going to get a healing for a month and then end up with a worse condition. The Father does not work that way. If the Lord heals somebody in any area of their lives, you better believe it's going to be healing from the inside out and the outside in. It's going to be for real. It'll be thorough. And you will be a different person upon that healing. Because God not only heals the wound, he cleanses the soul. What does Satan do? Satan does not do that, does he? Satan can do no more than a doctor does. That's why his own people are going around broken up. Right? And if they do have some supernatural energy at some point in time, that is normally demonic energy, some spirit assisting, right, to beguile the masses. Be careful out there. Be careful to stay on the foundation of Christ. These are the very days, the Lord said, people would start falling away. People would slip. What's a telltale trait that you're in a dark area of knowledge? Anybody? What's a telltale trait? Something that will never fail. What is it? What does a person become? You ready? They become controlling. They also become bitter. They do. Then they become tired. You do not become tired when you step your foot in righteousness. And when God is the commander of your life, you do not become tired. When people carry burdens, they become tired. And all these other disciplines require heavy burdens to carry, not your Father. The burdens he has for us, they're extremely light in comparison to everything else. People are tired and worn out because they're trying to make things happen. What I'm trying to tell everybody is what the Word says. The Lord Jesus is going to make things happen. Why can't anybody trust that? Why do we have to try and do so much when the Lord said he would do it? Why is it that when I open to the New Testament, Jesus tells us what he's going to do? You know what he told us to do? He told us to believe in him. He told us what he was going to do, and he asked us, he said, just believe in me. Just believe in me. For example, how many people have tried to have faith that they were going to be healed? You said, okay, I'm going to think of this healing. And Lord, I'm healed. You're trying to think your wound not being a wound or something like that, right? And you're trying to have faith, and nothing happens. Anybody ever do that? It's okay if you did. I did that once. I said, wait, now, if faith works, here's what I said. If faith works, and I tell this thing, this object, to go throw itself out the window, it must obey, right? It didn't do anything. Didn't do a thing. Let's go through our exercise. Nobody jump before me. Some of you guys who are old in COT have an exercise called faith exercise. You ready? You guys ready? All right. Ready? I want you guys to think real hard. Real, real hard. About the A character. First of all, make sure that your keyboard is up on your phone, computer, whatever it is. Make sure your keypad is up there or you have a keyboard. Now I want you to think real hard about the letter A posting in the chat room. You do it. You do it. Think real hard about it. Don't accept no for an answer. Think real hard about it. No letter A's. Okay. All right, let me give you the other part. You ready? Reset yourselves. Reset. Everybody reset. Right? This is our exercise of faith. Everybody reset. You ready? You guys ready? Let me know when you're ready. Type a number one if you're ready. Type a number one if you're ready. Come on. Type a number one. The first one didn't work. Didn't work. I see no letter A's. It didn't work. All right? So if you're ready, type a number one. I'm going to be waiting. It's a small delay, about maximum 40 seconds. That's bad latency. Terrible. But 40 seconds nonetheless. Okay, we have a lot of ones. Okay, everybody ready? Everybody ready? Make sure that your keypad is in front of you. Your keyboard is in front of you. Keypad on your device. Make sure it's visible. Right? You ready? Press the letter A. Press the letter A right now. Press it. Press the letter A and make sure it enters into the chat room. Press it. Press the letter A. Oh, boy, look at those A's. Mission accomplished. So what broke, what fell apart? Okay, at first I said, you ready? At first, I said, I want you to think real hard about that letter A. About it entering into the chat room and you sat there, right? Maybe you stuck your hat on, your faith hat or something, I don't know. And you thought about it, nothing happened, right? When I said, press the letter A, you didn't think twice about adjusting your body. You didn't think twice about flexing your muscles, the right ones, to get to that letter A. You know why? Because here's what you said. You said, you got the command to press the letter A, and everything went in motion physically to do that, right? But you did not question, do you have enough strength? You did not question, will this device work? You didn't question, right, anything. You just did it. Faith is this. Listen to me carefully. Listen to me. Faith is not sitting around thinking real hard about something happening. No. That's not what faith is. Faith is when you act on that thing, whatever that thing is, you act on it. Say, for example, you ask for a healing. You say, Lord, well, you know, I've had this, whatever it is, for months, and I'm telling you what I know. I'm not telling you what I read. I'm telling you what I do all the time. I do it all the time. You ready? Say you ask the Lord for healing. You don't just sit there and pray your heart out, and that's it. Faith without works is dead. So what is your next step? When you're praying for a healing, then you accept the healing. See, you won't do that part. See, a lot of people skip that part. And because you accept the healing, get up from where you are. Now, you're going to be healed. Say, for example, I have a broken leg. I've had a broken leg before, freshly broken. I've had one, right? I said, Lord, this is getting in my way, right? This leg. So I'm going to try to heal this leg. So what I did was I got up and I began to adjust things back to the way they were. I did. You know what happened the next 2 days? No broke leg. Totally healed. That's impossible. It takes 6 months for a bone to heal, right? Wrong. Not with her father. Do you know what the difference was? Do you know what the difference was? I followed through with my faith. I did not just sit there and say, Lord, heal me, and sit back like a broken wishbone until something happened. I did not do that. I acted on that. I had things to do. So guess what? I went ahead and started doing those things. God will always complement his word. Always. He'll never fail to do it. The problem is, we're not always carrying his word. You hear that? See, if I carry somebody else's word, if I'm believing in somebody else's word, why would God perform somebody else's word? He's not going to do that. There have been times, I remember one time I did a jump in Panama. My chute folded 300 feet, knees cracked, broken, duct tape came out. Yes, duct tape. That was very stupid. But, you see, back in those days, I was not thinking about healing, right? But I was very persistent. After making it to wherever I made it to, and after ultimately being fixed, right, there were still some problems. I said, nope again. This isn't going to work. So I proceeded to pray. I said, Lord, you got to fix this. This is in my way. But instead of stopping everything until I was healed, I went forward with those things as though I was healed. I did. And that's the way it was going to be. Right? Here it is. You ready? When you commit to do the works of the Lord despite your condition, your Father is going to be involved. Do you hear me? Now that's full faith. See, full faith is when you don't stop doing what you're doing for the Lord because of some mishap. How many times have we stopped or said, Lord, I need this before I can do this for you? Or how many times have we prayed and said, Lord, if I just have this, then I can do this for you? Or how many times have we said, Lord, well, my situation is straightened out. I'm going to help so-and-so with their situation. Isn't that what we did? The Lord doesn't work that way. True commitment happens regardless of what you have or don't have. The Lord works within the confines of truth and commitment and love. He does. That's where the blessings are, right? So if you love someone, you can be broke to pieces. You're going to do everything you can for that person, right? You will, whether you're broke or not. You certainly do it for an infant. Mothers, all you have to do is start treating people in life the same way you would treat a tiny infant. You don't care what your condition is. You're going to break your neck and break your other leg, getting to the infant so the infant can eat, so the infant can be warm, so the infant can be dry. You're going to do what's necessary. We start looking at adults, and then the psychology of the world plays in. We say, well, they should know better. How can they know better? If you were indoctrinated by some weird group out there, how can you come into this group and know better? You can't. Can you? Why do we always look at an adult and say, I expect them to handle everything. Nope, that's why nothing gets done. That's why the world is like it is now. Everybody's looking at each other saying, well, they should know better. That's why couples fall apart. Both look at the other, saying what they should know by now. Wives look at the husbands. Why, he should know what I'm thinking right now. He knows this look. Stop doing that. How do we do that? Those are not, that's not looking upon someone with eyes of love. That's a business contract. When you look at an employee, you're going to look at that employee and say, well, they're not up to standard. I'll let them go. That's true enough for an employee. Your spouse is not your employee. Your family is not your employee. Look upon them with eyes of love. Stop assuming they know what to do. Jump in and help them. See, many of you, you want your health back. You want to be armed. You want to be in position for these times. The problem is you're not ready to jump in there. So why would God equip you with everything for you to do nothing? Why would he do that? The Lord worked, here's how the world works, first of all. When the world sends you on a mission, they equip you with everything you need first. You have that assurance of your gear. They teach you how to use that gear, and they expect you to use that gear in accordance to their teaching, correct? Then they send you on the mission for you to complete the mission. That is not how the Father works. The Father will send you with absolutely zero nothing. He will tell you what you must do. He will send you with nothing. He will not tell you what you're going to meet down the road. But he will let you know you're going to be rejected. He will let you know you're going to hit some bumps in the road. And he will tell you, don't worry about that. You continue in me. Don't you know that's part of the mission? Faith. So that when you go out there and you're on the road, you have zip, zero, nothing. And it gets cold. So long as you stay on that path of obedience, you know what happens? He'll either move the weather or move some cold gear right into your path. That's how he works. He will always equip you in that path of obedience. Why would God ever give you what you need on a path of disobedience or some made-up path we so often make for ourselves? Why? Everything you need is on that path of obedience. A lot of people, they don't discuss obedience much. Do you know why? Because they lose power when they do so. See, if I talk about obedience, it means don't obey me. Obey the living God. And if obeying the living God means you have to deviate from something I said that was fruitballish, then so be it. A lot of people don't want that. They want your absolute loyalty to them. God forbid we ever do that here. That means you become somewhat of a check mark. Well, I've got that check mark, and this check mark puts out, you know, so-and-so every single month, and so, yeah, let me keep them there. Right? And everything is adjusted to keep all the little check marks under control. No, it's about freedom, my friend. It's about truth. Truth. You ever heard of quality versus quantity? You ever heard of that? It's real. It's real. A lot of people, they like the special forces, right? Do you not know that's one of the five elements of how special forces operates? Do you know that? You know where they got that from? King David. That's where they got that from. King David. Right? Do you know that? In your lives, in this time, there's so many people slipping. So many people slipping because they don't want the obedient walk. They're trying to get something. Please don't let your motivation be to get something. Please don't let it be true that you're walking and only following so that you can receive something. Will that be authentic? How about this? How about we follow to give something? Let me ask you guys something, because a lot of people don't ask this. They don't. But I'm going to ask you something. We all know the Lord died for us. We know that. And you're following him. What would you want to give him? What would you want for the Lord to receive from you? You know, I asked myself that question once. Because I think about the cross often. You know what I come up with? Nothing. Because there's nothing I can do for him. but one thing. I can do one thing. I can do one thing. I can give him me. The only thing I have to give him is me. And when I say me, I mean everything of me. Talents, skill sets, everything. At any given time. That makes you a fruit ball, right? Makes you unpredictable, correct? My, my. When you do that, you think about what you can give to the Lord. You're going to catch his attention. You know that, don't you? Did you notice how the Lord said to his disciples, now I can call you friends? You ever read that? He called them friend. But why? Because after a few crucibles, they chose him. In fact, when they were disciples, there were plenty of times they could have chosen something else, but they didn't. They chose him. They chose him. They even fled from him. They lied directly to him, and he already knew it. He already knew that, just like he knows us, right? See, the Lord gave you a clue. He said, if you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Pause. Listen. He said, if you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed. What's a disciple? Isn't that somebody who learns? Somebody who sits underneath a rabbi who learns of their Lord, right? Then when you continue in his word, he said, if you continue in my words, he already identified his words because he separated his words from some other things, didn't he? And he said, if you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed. But then he says, then you will know the truth. He didn't say you're going to know the truth and then continue in his word. That's not what he said. He said, if you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth. He gave us something right there. See, he already knows we don't have the truth lest we continue in his word. And if we continue in his word, then he looks upon us as disciples indeed. And once you're a disciple, he already said you'll know the truth. He'll ensure that. Every time Jesus says something like that, like you will have this or you will know this or you will do this, you better believe. He's the one that's going to complete it, right? So he already knows you don't have the truth yet. But if you continue in his word, how can a person continue in his word and not just give it up? I'll tell you how. It's when they're not looking to get something out of him. It's when they're truly looking. They can identify him. Remember this. He said, he asked all of those disciples. He said, who do men say that I am? Right? What did they say? Some said Elijah. Some said a great prophet, this and the other. What did Peter say? Peter said, you're the Christ. You're the Christ. And Jesus looked upon Peter, I'm paraphrasing, he looked upon Peter and he said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And upon that rock, I'm going to build my church. What rock? The rock that can never be moved. The rock that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. You know what that is? It's when Jesus is identified by an individual. And that identification was given to them by God the Father. The gates of hell cannot prevail upon that. Now listen, this is a huge key. Listen to me. Because he said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And he said, upon that rock, I'm going to build my church. What rock is that? The identification of Jesus Christ, not by somebody's reading, not by some archaeological find, not by anything anybody dug up. No, but by the living God. When you guys were born, nobody had to tell you who Jesus was. He's been further defined as you've been going through life, but you knew Jesus was Jesus. You knew it. You don't know how. You knew it. Who gave you that? God the Father. Where can that be confirmed at? Jesus confirmed that very thing. You know what he said? All who have come to me the Father hath given me, and I will in no wise cast out, and I will raise him up the last day. Why is that? Because if God reveals his Son to you directly, then you truly belong to Christ. You need to write that down, because if you don't know that, you're going to be slipping and sliding all off the path in the ice fields of Satan himself, only to come back on the path at some time, because Christ will not lose you. He's not going to give up on you either. That's why when you ran away, he called you right back. So listen, we're not done yet. So the identification of Jesus Christ comes directly from God the Father in you, right? In you. That's the first seal. You better count. You can bet on, take that one to Vegas. Because the gates of hell cannot prevail against that. Do you understand that? If Satan himself came and threw every trick in the book at you, here's the problem. Because you know that Jesus is Jesus, you'll always hear him calling. See, that's why you went on your UFO hunt, and the Lord called you right back. That's why some of you went on that New Age stuff, and he called you right back. That's why some of you are ripped in half right now with all the knowledge out there. Yet he's calling you, and he will not stop doing that. That's why some of you were way out there, but then something hit you and you perceived the world, and you said, nope, I got to go back home. This isn't it. Let me go back to Christ. He called you back home. Nobody else did. Nobody else. He called you back home. He did that. So Satan can never prevail against that. Even when you were small, when you were in your mess, your turmoil, your sin, it was the voice of righteousness that kept calling you to righteousness before you could even comprehend righteousness. You had the call upon you. See, while everybody else was doing their thing, you were thinking. You could see things nobody else could see. You could perceive things nobody else could perceive. You tried to hide it, didn't you? You tried to hide amidst those of the world. And to you, it was a task. They called you back. He called you back home. See, when all this becomes real, you're going to be thankful for it. God already knows your disposition. He already knows. And he already started doing things for it and about it. He already did. So, the gates of hell cannot prevail against that. So, that's why Satan lost. That's why you're here today. That's why you're going to continue to win. Because Satan cannot be victorious over you in your life. Do you know that? That's why he had. If he was victorious in your life, you'd be dead. You'd be gone. You'd be out of the picture. He wants you removed out of the picture. And he was not able to do it. Right? He was not able to do it. Now listen, that means if you continue in my word, Jesus said, you're my disciples indeed. You're my disciples indeed if you continue in his word. There's one thing you cannot help but to do. You know what that is? You cannot help but to go back to his word. You can't. See, what you may not know is at every level of faith you find yourself at, you're pulled off into many different exits. But you're always called back to that main highway. And you always go back to God's word. And every time you go back to God's word, although it feels like you lost time, do you know that God said he could redeem the years? He's talking about you. He's not going to redeem back somebody else's years. No. He's talking about the real ones, the authentic ones. You, the prodigal sons, me, the prodigal son. That's what he's talking about. So all that time we wasted, he'll redeem the years. Now do you get it? It's not about making a person young again. That's not what that's about. To redeem the years is to redeem the time that we lost out there hunting other things. How many times have you said, oh my Lord, I've lost years. I should have been to this level and further by now. Had I only continued in my studies, I would have been here or here. God can redeem the years. You know what that means, don't you? Huh? Do you know what that means? He can accelerate your comprehension of everything of him. I'm telling you what I know, not what I read. I'm not telling you anything I read in a book. I'm telling you something I know. God can take you from 0 to 100 very quickly. He can give you comprehension beyond comprehension. And then people will look at you like, wait a minute. Where are your credentials? you didn't go to so-and-so and do so-and-so. I didn't see you in the theologian's cathedral. Right? They'll say that because God will give you things he did not disclose to anybody else. He will accelerate you. He'll do it. He'll do it. See, men have forgotten about something. They truly have. Men love to control things. And that control mentality has gotten into everything. And one thing they disregard, right? They know how to submit themselves. They know about all that. But they've forgotten that God has a call. See, some of these men on earth think they're God. They do. They think they're God. You know, the Lord spoke about such men. But they think they're God. They do what they do, a lot of them, for advantage. They do. They do it for control. How do you know that? Because when they don't have control, they're upset. They get very upset. When a person does not have control, and they're a person who's bound in strength and love, determination, and they will not stop for anything, that person will pray. That person will seek guidance. They will. People will even humble themselves to their criticizers. They will. They will. But see, those are the wise. See, in the Bible, it describes the wise. You know what it says? The wise are slow to speak, quick to listen. But a fool has many words, right? I know I speak a lot. That could be true of me. But a fool has many words. In other words, a fool will comment on everything and anything. A fool will. A wise person does not comment, you know why? Because they're always weighing the scales on what they hear. Always. Always, always. That's why I don't like when people say, well, I'm just outspoken. No, don't be the opposite of that. Outspoken is often connected to rebelliousness, the way men define that. That means you don't know how to discipline your own tongue. And you know what the word says, huh? You know what the word says? If a man cannot control his tongue, that man's religion is vain. Uh-oh. Oops. You know how people say, well, I just had to say that. Well, no, don't follow anything that person does because they have no self-control. If a person has no self-control, they're not in charge of their own vessel. See, God put you here not as a slave to your body, but as a master to your body. And if a man is not master to his own body, what he believes in is not working for him. Do not follow what that person is doing, because it's not working for them, it's not going to work for you either. How simple. Back to these gates. Now, the Lord told us, he told us, if we continue in his word, we're his disciples indeed, and then we'll know the truth. Then we'll know the truth once we continue in his word. And what will that truth do? It will make us free. Now, make is not some either-or term. Make is a declaration, is a forceful action. To make one free is to break chains. So what I'm telling you is this. When you continue in his word, that's what breaks the chains. Do you see that? Now, to continue in his word means you never stop. You don't just give it up. You don't say, I've read enough, I know enough. I don't need to read like I used to read. Don't do that. When you continue in his word, when you meditate upon his word day and night, somebody may say, how do I do that? How do you meditate upon the word of God day and night? I do it all the time. I find myself doing it all the time. I'll see something. Something happens in life. Maybe it's my discussion, a conversation, interaction, whatever the case is. And I'll always start seeing scripture behind it. And it always causes repentance within me. Do you know that? Always. Just about always causes repentance. And I'm always thankful. Because without that characteristic of me, right, I'd never have correction. I'd be as stubborn and stupid as you please. No need to be both, right? No need to be both. When you'll see scripture in every area of your life, you will. You'll see it. You, in fact, You'll have a conversation with someone, and based on Proverbs, you'll know what the outcome is. You'll see interactions between strangers, and by the Bible, you'll see what the outcome is. It is that accurate, and it never fails. And you can sit there and watch it all day, and sit there, and one day I started laughing. I said, I just, it's hard to believe sometimes. But you're sitting there waiting on the biblical outcome, and when you see it, you're like, really, this? And then you start talking to the Lord. That's when you start talking to the Lord, right? But you're a bit open about it. You're not reserved. You know how you used to be reserved. You don't want to hear anybody. You don't want anybody to hear you talking out to the air, right? Because God forbid. When you get to a specific level, sometimes you can't help it. And you'll just start talking to the Lord. You will. You don't care who's walking at that point. It's quite funny. Even when people overhear you talk, they get something out of what you said. Isn't that funny? How can that be? Right? You know, in normal times, if I would have did that at a young age, people would have looked at me and said, yep, he's lost it. They would have got nothing out of what I said. Somehow, based on your sincereness, even those times can break chains off other people. God can use you in ways you never thought possible. And in my personal life, right, to see that happen, to see chains break off a person's life, that's what I'm after. That's my focal point. That's why I'm no good at anything else. Everybody has a focal point, and not everybody's focal point is the same, which is why God does things in part. For example, in this COT organization, there are going to be other people here who have a focal point in different areas, right? Because my focal point is on the freedom of people. But there has to be other focal points, not just that. You guys see what I'm saying? Because I'm going to be content when chains are broken. If somebody else may be content when they see this area working right and that area working right. You put us all together, that's called completion. That's what forms the body in the earth, the body of Christ in the earth, right? Not just one person. God never intended for one person, just me, to stand here and to do what I'm doing and that's it. No, he didn't intend that. If that were the case, right, he wouldn't put all of us here. No, he didn't do it that way. He gave each one of us a slightly different perspective, a slightly different hunger, a slightly different focal point. And you put those things together, you have completion. That's happening more and more in these end days. God is starting to combine things. He's gone through that refinement period. He's starting to combine things, right? People are sharing their focal points. Somebody will be in COT, they're not going to be satisfied until a certain, quota is made, for example, right? Now, that's not going to do anything for me, because my quota is going to be somebody's chains broken. And so all my efforts will go into that. Well, somebody else can take care of something else, and so on and so on and so forth. That's the way it works. One person, if they're true to the focal point and their calling, then other things are going to be missed. That's true. Then you have this, you have something, but it's going to be incomplete. He will. But the Lord finishes everything, doesn't he? He finishes everything in his timing. Look at the timing we're in. People are saying, oh, did you guys see that South Pole anomaly? The Arctic anomaly? Did you guys see that? Again? So what happens when not only that little island is emitting what looks like scalar waves, but what happens when the same thing emanates from Greenland? And then when that goes off, what happens when the same thing takes place on a landmass? No waves, just landmass. We're in for some very different days. We are. The reason they had that UAP stuff on television, on the news, there's a reason they they started to act like they were going through hearings that were serious, and they bought in the people they did. There's a reason only certain people were there, and they had monitors. If you watched carefully, you would have seen the monitors. Now, the monitors do not play with the public, nor do they play with the people on the inside. They're quite serious. When they ever show up into something, you better believe there's something to it. They're getting people's feedback every single day. Now, based on that feedback, you'll be exposed to more and more things. But there's some things you have to know, too. There's some very real things you have to know about this whole UFO thing. The whole thing. And I don't want to be the one to tell you, right? But time is coming where you have to choose your side. And whatever side you choose, you're going to be stuck with. This is going to be very difficult to explain to anybody, but let me tell you. We read in Revelation where dark kingdom is rising. It will have power. Men will praise elements of the dark kingdom, not the kingdom of the living God. In fact, the kingdom of the living God is going to suffer some things. The Lord said so. There's going to be a decline in those who believe in the word of God. That is true. There's going to be a parting from the faith. People who once had the faith are going to depart from that faith. They're going to be fully and 100% given over to this other stuff. And meanwhile, the whole planet's going to be ripping apart. That's going to be the crazy part. Do you think people would pay attention to these storms? How many people are paying attention to these storms? I'll tell you right now, these storms do not have the power to keep people's attention. It does not. You may ask yourself why. Well, let me ask you this. I want you guys to understand how it works. I want you to think of this statement most of you have made. You were hurting. Could have been a bad pain in your body, external pain, whatever the case was, you were hurting. And you said, Lord, please take this pain away. You would have committed any act to get that pain away from you. You would have, to separate yourself from that pain, but it didn't go anywhere. You had to endure the whole thing. And it was agonizing. And the pain continued, and you started thinking about the times when you did not have the pain. And you said to yourself, I can't wait till I'm normal again so I can do such and such like I used to do without this pain. Could have been a toothache, right? Could have been anything, but that's what you said. Now think. Oh, you remember that mindset you were in? You were begging the Lord to get rid of that pain. You remembered that you took those times for granted, and you said, I'm not fooling around this time. When I'm well again, I'm going to go headlong into it. I'm not fooling around this time. Because you realize you took that free time for granted. Now that the pain came, everything was limited. But when the pain totally left, you were excited on day one. You were excited. And you said, oh, the first thing you did was, okay, let me just relax for a minute. Right? That's what you did. Let me just relax. Second day comes. You're working back into yourself. You're still kind of, leaning back. Third day comes, and you slip right back into where you were prior to having the pain. Fourth day comes. You're the same person you was. You're the same person you were before you start hurting. You had forgotten about what you took for granted. Now it seems like when the fifth, sixth, and seventh day comes, it seems like you're having a hard time starting the work again. So you just, when you were in pain, you knew you were focused. You said, I'm not taking that time for granted. 6 days after you were, well, you're back at square one. Things are boring. You don't know what direction to follow. You don't. You've forgotten about the pain, right? You can do anything you want to do again. And all that heightened focus you had at the capstone of your pain period is gone. Now you can't remember the pain. And there's a disassociation with who you were in that painful time and who you were without pain. Come on, I need somebody to remember this, that when you were in that painful time, you knew at that moment you took things for granted. You knew it. But when the pain is gone, why do we slip back into the other person again? First, do you remember that? Can anybody recall that? I'm sure that many people can recall something like that, right? It's kind of like the excitement you get when you purchase something. A week later, you forget you purchased it. Yet you won't let anybody have it, right? Because you're going to use it one day. This is year 15. You're still going to use it one day. It's just not today, right? Same thing. What is that? I'll tell you something. It should show you something. That when you are in a high state of discomfort, you throw off all the silliness, the big facade, the acting and everything else that goes away. You become focused. Why? Because now it's serious. See, pain makes it serious. And if it's a real, terrible pain, well, believe me, it's very serious. Right? And in that serious moment, you're in a different frame of mind. I hate to say this, but you're in a very healthy frame of mind. That's when you can focus and see. But when you don't have pain, your mind is almost in a state of bliss. You can do anything. You're back to your routines. The boredom comes back. The complaints come back, right? The irritation comes back. The indecision comes. All the stuff comes back. Until you're back in that painful time again. But why does it come back? I'll tell you why. When you're in that painful moment, because it's so serious, right? It's very serious. It's right there in your face. That pain is a reminder that you really did take your time for granted, and that you may not be getting that back. It makes you realize how important and how blessed you were that time you took for granted. You were blessed all the days you did not have the pain. And then when you had the pain and you found yourself limited, you knew the limitations and you knew the blessing was real. When you start looking at life like that, everything changes. Everything. Then when you go back to your reasonable status, we're back to complaints again. Because nothing is immediate. That's why. Pain makes everything immediate. Pain does that. Pain makes everything an emergency. Pain makes everything right now, doesn't it? You need relief right now. It's hurting right now. You need the prayer answered right now. That's what pain does. Pain makes you sober. But when you have nothing going on, we become drunken. With so many things, we stop moving. Ultimately, complaints settle in. Because when our mind is fractured, anytime we start complaining, we're not focused. Then our emotions begin to guide our lives. This subset of properties in the flesh, like greed and all these things, they start ruling our lives again. Then we start comparing ourselves to other people. Then we start looking at what we don't have. And we turn into different people. The true person you are was that moment of pain. Whoever you were, that's who you really are. What do you think the Lord would do to get us to be sober? In all his great love and compassion, what is the one way to get us sober, really sober, that we would speak truth and see the truth? Is it to let us have everything we want? No. You already know what has to come. You already know what has to take place. You already know what the end result is going to be. But you also know the power of the flesh that can cover over sobriety at any given time and put you back into that place you shouldn't be in. The Lord desired us to walk out of that place ourselves, but we refuse to leave it. You know how when you tell somebody, just leave me alone, let me think about it. That's the person saying, I'm going to stay here. The leave me alone part is an excuse to stay exactly where they are. That's what we do to the Most High. When the pain came, we didn't do any of that. If the Lord would have said, hey, move here, would have said, how far? Right? Because we were listening for him. Why? Because we had a need for him. You were in pain. Should the Lord say anything during that time? You're going to do everything to hear him and respond to him. In fact, how many of you were in pain and you looked for the, you were listening for the Lord's voice? Just a tiny little voice, something, anything, right? You were listening for it diligently. You didn't get tired of listening for his voice. You didn't get tired of interacting with him because the pain was so immediate. See, so our Father has to make some things immediate. And he's being very kind as it's building up. But we're still not listening. We're not. Texas. What's happening? I know you got experts out there that will tell you one thing. They act like God does not exist. Why do we act like God does not exist? When the floods hit places we don't want them to hit. I'll tell you right now, people are not, they're not listening. They're not hearing the voice of the Most High. They're not yielding to him. And how do you yield to the voice of the Most High? You must hear your neighbor. Do you know that? You cannot hear everything God is saying and ignore your neighbor. It's not going to work. Your servitude to your neighbor is servitude to the Most High. You cannot serve God and deny your brother. You can't do it. You can't even say you love God and you hate your enemy. You cannot do it. You know what the Bible says? You go around hating people, the love of God is not in you. That means you're not willing to forgive. You can only see the deeds of the flesh. And you're not willing for somebody to be free of the Spirit causing them to do whatever they're doing. You're also assuming you're right and they're wrong. When you assume you're right and they're wrong, you didn't ask God into the situation to guide you. You're asking God to back you up in your sins or judgment on somebody else. That comes with the highest of penalties and correction. Unfortunately, flesh will fight tooth and nail to prove itself right. So I'll tell you this. Do you think people, after the pain stays in the same spot week after week, you think there'll be a change then? You're about to see just how resilient and stubborn flesh can be and how damning pride can be. And nothing will stop it. Nothing will diminish it. So long as pride continues to murder everybody else. Because the Lord is interested in your victory. And he knows what it takes for your victory. We may not know what it takes, but he knows. And it's coming, and it will not stop. And it will only be the beginning. Then when the heavens change, that will cause no vindication to no one. The man of perdition will attempt to make it into something it's not. But those who are written in the book of life will see right through it. Those days require great sobriety. Before I take this break, I want to tell you something. That discussion about the pain. Do we have an ability to keep ourselves in that mindset when the pain was at its highest level and we were thinking about all of what we took for granted? Do we have an ability to keep our minds in that area of sobriety, of immediacy? Because that situation let us know that we need external help. And when we find out we need external help, when we can't do anything about it, that's when we yield. We only yield when we understand fully that we have no power to do anything about our situation that's hurting us. That's when we yield. Even I've not known anybody, I've not known humanity to yield at any other time. But when they're overwhelmed and they have no power to stop it, that's when they yield. So I'll tell you this, Now you know the perfect condition that must come. Only when humanity is overwhelmed and they face a hopelessness, and it's an immediate and painful issue, will they ever yield? So be it. Who determined that? Man did. Not your father didn't. He already explained that in the book of Isaiah and Ezekiel. He already told us how he works. It's just not read that much. God said that that man would choose that. I tell you this, if a man could become sober, or a woman could become sober, without the pain, without the misery, without the immediacy, there'd be no need to have any pain. Do you know that? There'd be no need for the pain. If a person could stand still and hear, and not lean under their own understanding, let me say that one more time. If they could not lean under their own understanding, one more time, that's a very fresh statement. If a person could not lean under their own understanding, I say that three times because isn't that what people are doing every single day? They lean under their own understanding. How do we know that? They say, well, you know, what I think, well, wait a minute. Didn't the Lord say, don't lean under your own understanding? Not willing to even receive that. Because all people do is misdefine that. Well, what God means is, well, he just said what he meant. And we continue to defy him. He's telling us to operate by his knowledge. What do we keep doing? We keep leaning onto our own understanding. We keep living by what we have come to a conclusion of. Not what the Lord has given us. What we have given ourselves. We have deduced our own salvation, and we truly believe it works. The interrupter is coming. You know the one who letteth? Who will now let until it be taken out of the way, then that man of perdition is going to be revealed? Darkness will be revealed. Because the one who letteth is to be taken out of the way. And then the origin of darkness will be known. In that day, you'll see tears. That's when men will know hopelessness. In that day, people will know pain. Until that day, you will continue to hear a person lean unto their own understanding. All of social media is built on leaning unto your own understanding. In fact, it is outlined in those parameters of social media to assist a person in living by their own footsteps. What do they call it? Not their own path, but they gave it a Latin name. And it's actually in a book. And people are doing it. See, everybody in this society, although the word is here, they do not have to live their lives by the word. People can come together all day and say that they're living by the word, but I tell you this. When the one that conceals the origins of darkness is removed out of the way in that day, many things will be proven. That's when a person will yell out his or her own secrets from the rooftop. That's when no one will have a desire to lie, and everyone will utter the truth about themselves. That's when those written in the book of life are going to perceive something they never thought they'd perceive. That's when the assistance comes. In proportion to the darkness. Obedience is still required so long as you're in the flesh. But things are going to turn very real. And I tell you this, if you think it's going to be a big deal, you have mistaken yourselves. It's kind of like this UFO thing. If people saw a bunch of ETs running around the earth, it wouldn't make a difference. Just like the pain, they'd be back to normal. Give it about 3, 4, 5, 6 days. Everybody says, well, that would change everything. No, it wouldn't. No, it would not change a thing. Everybody always thinks that until it takes place. How many times have we said that for our own lives? Lord, if I just had so-and-so, that would change everything. And so God doesn't give it to us when we ask for it right away. Here's what I noticed he does. I want you guys to think of this, and I'll take a break. You ask for something because you make a deal with the Lord, and you say, Lord, if I can get, if you give me this, I'll do so-and-so and everything else. So here's what the Lord does, being who he is. He's thorough through and through. If you make a statement like that, then it shouldn't be based on any fickle feeling. So what the Lord does is he didn't give it to you. He didn't give it to you right away. 2, 3, 4 weeks pass. 2 months pass. 3 months pass. All of a sudden, what you asked for comes. But you don't realize it because you forgot you asked for it. I've seen people ask for a financial blessing. They didn't get it right away. They got it like 3 months after. And when it came, they didn't even connect it with the prayer they had because they forgot the prayer. They had long since moved on from the prayer into something else. But they did receive it. I've seen people ask for a whole bunch of things. And it comes like that. And the person did not perceive they received it. Then when it's pointed out, they say, oh, my Lord, it did come. But I wasn't in the right heart. My heart had changed. That's what the Lord is showing us. That's what he's showing us. That is a huge, here it is, listen. We ask for things that we think will fix our problem. That's going to make our lives better. Did you hear what I said? We ask for what we think is going to make our lives better. But the truth is we don't know, do we? God knows. Did you hear me? Did you hear me? How many times have we asked the Lord for something and we forgot what we asked him for? Because we think we know what's going to fix us. Can you imagine an infant, right, having a pad on his chest, and every time he makes one of his weird moves, it'll hit a pad and the pad will speak. I need a diaper change. I need a bottle. Can you imagine if somebody acted on the random movements of an infant and did everything, the little voice, the little, they hit a pad and the voice goes off. If they did that, boy, they'd be just sadly mistaken about that little infant. They'd hit a button, I need my diaper changed. Nothing in the diaper. They'd be checking things all day. When we think we know what's going to fix our lives, we have a track record of being wrong. Why would the Lord give us what's not going to heal us? And in truth, what you asked for, he did give, not in your timing, but in his. And because it was late, we forget what we asked for. How can we forget what we asked the Lord for? If it be important, if it is the numero uno thing we need, how can we forget? Why do we forget? Because like an infant doesn't know what it needs. An infant only knows that it needs. We're just like that, aren't we? Now I'll take a break. I'll be right back in a few minutes right here at the Council of Time. Okay, we're back. I didn't realize. Oh my, you guys let me talk that long? Where's Robin? Robin. It's 8:22. And you just now called a break not too long ago. Did you fall asleep, Robin? Okay. Back to the conversation. Guys, faith. All this we were talking about. Listen to me. Faith. We just spoke about a very important subject. A truth. But all too often we don't know what we need. Right? Is that correct? Would most people concede to that? We don't know what we need. Right? We know that we need. We just don't know what we need. So when you connect that with a conversation about faith, you know the Lord knows what you need. Because in the Bible it says, God knows what you have need of before you ask him. Right? Before you ask him. So we don't know what we need. What we can make clear to him is our understanding. Do you hear me? You can conversate. Remember something. Always have a truthful conversation with the Most High, with the Savior. We can convey to him our understanding of a subject in truth. We can do that in truth. When it comes to a solution, we don't know what solution we actually need. But we can trust that he does. So listen, you know, when you're trying to have faith in your prayers, right, to make something happen, hear me on this. All too often we try to have faith that that thing we ask for is going to come into being. I hear it all. I hear people more and more saying, well, yeah, just, you know, just keep saying it and it'll manifest. That's not true. Because all of you guys should have millions of dollars. Nothing manifested. Right? Don't fall for the okie dokie. Don't do that. What you can do, instead of having, see, I don't have faith in me. I don't have faith in me. And yet the Lord continues to heal me. He continues to do that. He upholds me. He does. He does. He'll do things through me that surprise me. He does that. Why though? Because I have faith in him. 100% of my faith is in him, not me. It's in him. Do you hear me? See, while everybody else is trying to believe for that specific thing they ask for, that may not be what they need, and God supplies all of our needs according to his riches and glory, I'm having faith in him. It is so easy to have faith in the Messiah. I do not have faith in myself to go tell that mountain to go through itself in the water. But I can have faith in the Lord that he will remove what he removes for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I can have faith in that. I can have faith in him. He can move things. I need not do that. He'll do it. And he's been doing it. He's been doing it. See, most people want to be a God here on this earth. So people can look at them and say, wow, look what they did. I don't want any of that. I want the Lord's name to be edified and lifted up. I truly do. And I'll concede most often to the Lord, Lord, I do not know what I need. But I know what my condition is. I know what this part of my condition is. I can believe in you. I can't believe in me, but I can believe in you. And by doing that, I'll go forward with this, whatever he has of me to do. Right? In the military, when you receive an order, right? And then you get somewhere else and nobody has told you what to do, in the absence of further orders, you carry out the standing order that you have. The Lord told us, didn't he, to carry the gospel. We did. Now, in the gospel, are the standards of Christ, his message, the good news. Gospel means good news. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ. Not the bad news, the good news. What's good news? The good news is this. You don't have to live the same way you're living. Humanity has been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Put back in their position. The position Adam lost. Oh yes, he's been put back. And the kingdom is wide open. Born within a person. And Satan has lost. All darkness has lost. That's the good news. Through Christ, it was the last sacrifice. You carry that everywhere. The only way to do that is to have an interest in people. We're not simply conveying that message. No. We're spreading the gospel. And you're an intimate part of that. In that walk, it's very difficult to believe that you can do a bunch of things. But you can believe in the Messiah. How many of you can believe that your friend will be healed? You just can't believe you can be healed. How many believe in that? How many act like that? Huh? It's so easy for you to pray for somebody else and say, huh, brother or sister, God will heal you. And you actually believe that. But when it comes to you, you always have this reservation. Well, maybe because of this, maybe because of that, right? I have a task for you. Time for us to get rid of the maybes. You know how many say, well, maybe I haven't been faithful enough, and that's why. Well, maybe because of this back in the past, that's why. Well, maybe because of that. Listen, I have a task for you. You got to write down all those maybes. Every single last one of them. You got to make sure every single last maybe is covered. Now, one of us should have a maybe. See, in the Bible it says, having done all you can do to stand therefore. But if you have a maybe, you can't stand because you're saying, well, you know, I can't stand all the way because I didn't do this. Well, then go do it. Go do it. So that we can all be complete. Do you not know in this body, if one of us is incomplete, if we're the body and the foot is hurt, the whole body is going to start leaning to one side. Do you know that? We can operate like that. So all those things you have questions about in your own life, don't keep them questions. If you believe, time to bring them out. You know, one of the big problems is so many people judge. Let me tell you guys something. And many of you know it already, right? I'm a confidant. You know what that means? Anything you tell me stays with me. It does not go anywhere else. You already know that. I'm praying for you guys. I'm rooting for you guys. Because I may see something in you that you can't yet see. And you do not need to walk in life with any badges of incompleteness. Leave nothing undone in your lives. You're right at the end. You may not be able to see it in its fullness. But something has altered in your spirit. That's why you're looking desperately. You're looking for something, and you don't know what you're looking for, but you know when you find it, you will have found it. Who do you think sparked that interest in you spiritually? Your father did. There is a spiritual disturbance in God's people right now. They know something is wrong. They can't put the finger on it. See, there are some who do. They know what's wrong. God won't permit them to say anything because it will be shown. Do you hear me? And the whole body will know it all at one time completely. Prior to that time, because you know what time you're in. You're in a time of demonstration. You know, the Lord continues to give me, he'll give me things, right? Here's a big secret. You ready? He will give me things to give to you so that you don't think everything I'm saying is hogwash. And those things will happen from time to time. Now, you know and I know, people just don't do that over and over and over again. And sometimes it's very difficult to tell, for anybody to tell. How do you know that? Where do you get that from? Well, that's because of this, and they have their sentiments and ideas. The truth is, they do not know. But it keeps happening, doesn't it? Huh? The off comments, the side comments, stuff just happens, just starts happening. That's not me. I have something to tell you guys. And it's not going to be slight. And it requires demonstration. It will be life or death. It will be. I'm not the only one the Lord is doing like that. Because that time has never, nothing has ever been like this. Nothing. The world can't see it. You can't see it. Only you are given eyes to see it. Only you. You know how in the Bible when they, those experts got among themselves, they say, well, you know, I mean, he's some, you know, that, yeah, but this doesn't convince me, but that does, but this doesn't. That's the way the Lord works. The world will not be warned of this. But you will. And you are being warned. Because when the Lord starts having people speak stuff and it comes to pass, you better believe it's for a reason. It is not for clout. That's not what it's for. It's not to fill somebody's pockets. That's not what it's for. Every single time in the Word of God, anybody ever did that, something major had come. You live in a time, you all of you know, you were born knowing that you were going to live in this time. While everybody else was saying things are going to get better, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, you wanted to believe, but something in you said, no, we're not. Some of you were out there, you were hellions, weren't you? Hellions. That's where you were, hellions. But then when somebody spoke against Christ, something rose up internally inside of you. Whether you were drunk or sober, it rose up inside of you. It was beyond you, and you already know this. And that part that rose up, you cannot control. You're not going to manipulate. You know it's there. Do you not know that soon it will surface and never decline again? And in that day, God's children will truly change. You've gotten a taste of it. You know the truth of it. You know the truth of it. You knew it stood up, but it subsided, didn't it? It's almost like it let you have back everything for a moment. You know that. One day soon, it'll stand up and never decline again. Many of you have questions. Am I going to be strong enough? You already had a taste. You already had a taste of the resolve within your spirit, man. And when it stands up this time, and in fact, you can't even say that truthfully right now. You can't. What you experienced when it stood up last time in defense of the name of Jesus is no comparison to what will happen this time. That is something you can't throw off to anybody. Do you know why? Because it's 1,000% real. And you already know it's real. A lot of people ask, I don't know how I'm going to make it through Revelation if God tells you. Stop saying that. There's a part of you your Father knows. He knows exactly what you're capable of. You only know what your flesh may be capable of. You do not know in fullness what you shall be. You don't know that yet. But you do know you're not going to get through on your own merit. If anybody makes it all the way through, it is by Christ. And do you not know it is Christ who that spirit man stands up for? Well, that time is coming. Having said that, the darkness will become very dark. You're the only ones that can pierce it, see through it. But the work is to be done now. Jesus gave us a warning. He said, work while it's day, because when the night comes, no man can work. And we're not talking about some 3 days of darkness. Throw that out of your minds. Don't match that with the words of the Messiah. Keep that separate. That was words of people. We're talking about the words of the Messiah. When the night comes, no man can work. No man can work. Did you hear me? No man can work. No man can work. But what does the Lord say about you? What did he say about you? You're no longer flesh, but spirit. Did you hear that? Some of you don't believe exactly what you are yet. But you will. You'll fully understand. And that's reserved for those who remain faithful before the beginning of the transition. So that means right now, one of the most important seasons of your life, the time before the demonstration. This is the time before. This is the time before the sons of God stand up. This is the time before. This is your time of faith, when no proof is given. This is that time, the qualifier of those who will be thorough without proof. Those who will be consistent without promise. This is that time to demonstrate the truth of you. And it's in you to demonstrate the truth of yourselves in the most time, because you have that desire internally. All you have to do is get up and walk on it. Start walking in that God-given desire. No longer say what you can't do. Walk forward in faith, knowing that if you do it, it is Christ within you that accomplished it. Now is the time to not point fingers. No. But to realize how many people are compromised. Now is the time to pick a side. Do you agree with the compromise you see before you? Or are you like your Savior, who gave his very life because so many were compromised? Didn't he? He gave his life because I was compromised, and you were compromised, and those before us were compromised. And God so loved the world, he said, look at all those compromised children. I love them, even in their sinful state. Did he not send his son at the height of man's sinful state to die for their sins even when they would not accept him? Yes, he did. Why? Because he loves them. He does not desire those people to die outside of him. Why do you think your spirit is troubled when you condemn? You may not tell everybody else, but normally it goes like this. You fall into the crowd with everybody else while they're condemning, and you condemn too. But then you get off to yourself and you feel some type of internal condemnation later on. Conviction. Like you shouldn't have done that. And then you have this conversation in your mind. You're trying to justify it. Then you see by the eye and it confuses you how this person would do it and this person would do it, but you're having the feeling that you shouldn't have done it. That's why we walk by faith, not by sight. We don't liberalize by what we see by the eyes. We live our lives by truth. God's doing it again. He has presented humanity with something, and all who bite this bait are going to be stuck with it. I'm telling you now. If you've been in COT a while, you know exactly what I'm talking about, and God is doing it again. But I'm telling you something. If you bite this bait, you're going to be stuck with this in your mouth. And nobody can do anything for you after that. Twice we've been tried, and twice a great many failed. Whoever bites this bait, you will see it yourselves. You see, people forget about this prophecy, what it says, and many of those who say they believe Christ, they're going to believe in their hearts that God had abandoned them. Why would they ever believe something like that? Because they kept acting on their own. That's why. justify yourselves by using anybody else. If you justify yourself and you agree with what God does not agree with, let me ask you guys, let me make it simple. How many of you disagree with the living God? In God's primary purpose for Christ, how many of you disagree with that? How many disagree? I'm going to say it. Because if I don't say it, I'm going to pay for it. And I'm not paying for this one. How many of you disagree with the living God? It is primary purpose for sending Christ. Many of you would probably say, I do not agree. So the primary purpose of Christ was to destroy the works of the devil. The Bible says so, correct? And how was that done? By a sacrifice. A sacrifice for whom? Who did Jesus come for? All of us are sinners saved by grace, correct? Sinners saved by grace. And how many of you agree with the living God? How many agreed with Jesus dying for you? How many humans agreed with Jesus dying for you? How many people accused you in your life? When you were stuck in your sin, how many people pointed at you and said, you're never going to make it? How many people looked at you and said that you were garbage? Huh? I know I'm touching a soft spot, but I have to. How many people looked at you and made you an outcast? Let me ask you this. Why would we do that to somebody else that Jesus died for? And then call ourselves Christians. Why? Why? Why would we point at anybody else in their sinful state and say they're done for? Salvation is going to prove many things to be of a falsehood. And I'll say it again. If people bite the bait this time, they're going to be stuck with a mouthful of junk. And that's what they'll have to eat. God has been incredibly gracious. Anybody who understands the foundation of the purpose of Christ, you understand what I'm saying. You understand fully what I'm saying. And a change is required. This is just like the Exodus again. And those who are warlike in their hearts will be separated from everybody else. Just as the living God was not playing about salvation for you and I, he's not playing about salvation for the ones we condemn. And God forbid we ever condemn what God did not. That's what earth is for. Repentance is what earth is for, not by our clock, but by God's truth. Two times he tried everybody. This time, they'll surely eat all still see it? You'll see it in their bloody mouths. Real blood in the mouths of those who refuse salvation upon others. The Lord's not pleased with that, but he has reserved his judgment. But we all know the consequential days are upon us. Life has a high death toll. Everybody will know. I hope that you all don't take that route. All I can do is ask. Make you aware and ask. It's up to you to move on. All of us must move upon the truth that we believe is truth. I, for one, will not condemn what God has placed grace over. He did not put grace over Satan nor his demons. Grace is over humanity. We better start changing. Because he said he would make us public spectacles if we refuse to change. And everything lifted up is going to be torn down to the ground. And all the lowly things will surely be lifted up. So long as Christ has not returned, we are in the era of grace and mercy, but that is soon to change. Darkness is coming. Nobody can work in the darkness. I pray that you guys really comprehend what I'm saying. Those who have heard, well, you have heard. I can't force anybody to hear. That's my urgent one. Now, last thing, we have 9 minutes. Since we have some solar issues, let me see, how many events were those? 19 events, solar events. We're going to get those posted. Why don't you guys watch out for these, okay? You can help COT define those events. As they take place, the dates will be going up there. It's not kooky, right? It's before you call it kooky, it's not kooky. There are 19 solar events, but I anticipate. I do. There are 4 volcanic events. There are 2 shakings. It's only the beginning of that. I believe in June, there's even suspected to be 3 impacts. Now, of course, we're going to have to get coordinates on these. We're working to do so. We're going to do our best with those 3. Because I don't believe those won't make it to the water, I don't believe. They're too far north already. And based on how they're coming in, that's going to pose a problem. Normally, if they come in, and they're southern based mathematically, right? Believe it or not, Mexico protects us from being hit by a lot of things here in the USA. These will be too far north. Too far north. Once they hit 2 of those oblong anomalies in South America, it's going to guarantee a land hit, not water hit. And so often, you know, these meteorites are shifted and moved a little bit by certain magnetic anomalies in our atmosphere. But of course, our atmosphere is changing. More specifically, gravitational force around the globe is changing. Some of those properties are altering already. Inertia has changed. That's been confirmed in several places. That's not good news. Inertia changes are bad. We need steady, constant inertia, right? We don't need alterations in inertia. And so that can cause some very unsuspecting events. So, that will find them. Guys, when it comes to solar flares and things like that, we just so happen, don't think it's special or anything. It is expected for the sun to have these eruptions. It's very expected, right? Most of these holes that you see in the sun with optics, they're moving in a northerly, or towards the equator, not northerly, towards the equator. And they're also being released. So the more they point toward us during specific times, the more we're going to have to face. But it is part of the solar cycle. The only difference is most of the solar cycles have had two peaks, right? This one is already different in that respect. Is already different. What's also different is we did not have the changes in Saturn, right? So what we're looking at is the sun having one force upon us, Saturn and Jupiter, right, and Neptune having another force upon us. Those Saturn, Jupiter, and Neptune are changing. They're starting to change. That's going to cause Earth to change even more rapidly than it is right now. In what direction, we don't know, which is why the anchor must be biblical. I trust the outcome of the Bible has never failed. It's always quite accurate when it comes to its, everything really, but it predicts what the earth is going to be like. It really does. It's just that people don't normally read specific passages in the Bible to pick that out. But it tells you exactly what we're about to go through. It tells us the years that will take place prior to Christ's return. Did you guys know that? It tells us that. And it's shocking how many people have not read that. It tells you the nature of mankind in the years leading up to the coming of the Messiah. It tells you that. It tells us all that, right? It even goes into detail about the bondage of Israel. It does. But it also talks about the other countries too, and what they're going to look like during the trampling of the foot of Israel. We have talked about the trampling underfoot of Israel. We did not talk about what the other nations look like when that takes place. We're going to get the cover of that one too. What will happen in the end days is somewhat devastating. There's going to be a global war. It even talks into depth about this global war and the formation of politics before this global war. But again, in places and in passages, most people have not read, right? Amos is a very good book when it comes to another blueprint of these end times, right? And what God will and won't agree with, take away, give, you know, so forth and so on. It has not missed anything. It's not missed a beat. And so Genesis, for example, declares something upon the earth. Should mankind do a specific thing? And it gives us a marker of Israel being lost, that will go into motion. But that thing that goes into motion, most people have not read. We'll read it here. They're actually quite mind-blowing. Proverbs gives us a few conditional statements based upon the activities of mankind during a specific time. We're undergoing one of those now. It is quite phenomenal. But those things are in the Bible, just in the Bible. Here, we're going to cover the book of Enoch, right? Now, nobody has to join us, which is why I'm hesitant picking up. I got to pick a good time for that. A good time for the book of Enoch, which will probably be Fridays, and devote that Fridays for the book of Enoch. We're going over the parables, right, that were given to Enoch and Noah. We're going over all that. We're going over the jobs of the angels, all that. So everybody's familiar with the book of Enoch, so you can find out what the big hubbub is about, right? Because when you read the book of Enoch, not these so-called enhanced copies, no, not that. I get the ones back to the base. There's only one I read from. Anyway. Once you hear it yourself, you're going to find out that they give high praise to Christ, that what they were speaking about is not far-fetched. It's what people have been talking about this entire time. But it will confirm the history of the USA and the history of Europe. Remember, the USA is the youngest country by way of men's countries. but it's very old on the earth. Do you know that? How many people know how old the Appalachian Mountains are? How many know the issue with the Appalachian Mountains? There is a massive problem with the Appalachian Mountains. Any of you familiar with that? It is worse than the San Andreas. It is worse than New Madrid, and it's never spoken of. Never. See, it's one thing with mankind. They always speak of those things they know. But they've always been hit by what they did not know. Haven't you noticed that? Whatever they did not know, whatever they had no knowledge of, whatever they minimized or diminished, has always taken them. They were talking about so many end-of-the-world scenarios during 9/11. Nobody ever suspected planes would hit towers and start a new era. Did they? But that's how it begun. World War I. Nobody ever anticipated a guy coming over with his wife, talking about his wife's stuff, to start World War I. World War II. Nobody suspected something so small of an infraction would cause a global war. World War III. I personally believe that World War III has already begun. History has not caught up to it yet. I do believe that. I do believe that. Right? Just like World War II, just like World War I, same thing. In the first year of World War II, or World War, the first month of World War II, nobody knew it was World War II, right? Because it was always somebody else. Only when the U.S. was dragged into it did they adjust their timeline. I say, wait a minute, guys, this goes all the way back here. Let's put the history books in. We live in a very different time. We live in a cyber world. You guys may not be aware, but there's a cyber war happening. And half your emails, right, are on the black web, dark web. I'm sure that you guys have gotten that notice. Your email is on the dark web. Change your password, right? It's in there. How many people had identity theft already this year? How many have that? You have your identity lost? Lord knows, I think I went through everything twice. I think it did, right? It's a lot of cyber threats happening, people tearing up people's lives. All sorts of things are happening. But this time is going to be unlike any other time. We all have a different element to work with. And see, this is what I'm here for. I'm here for a specific thing. There's another element. I'm telling you that one day, people are going to look up at the skies, and they're going to really believe that they can put their hand through it. That's what they're going to think. They can put their hand through the skies. At that moment, the skies will be the most dangerous thing man has ever known. You'll still have your electricity. Half the time, people will be terrified of lights or being near light. They're certainly not going to want noise, and nobody's going to be using fuel. Grass will be up to your chin. They're not going to use that. See, when things change, I'm telling you, they're not going to be ready to handle it. They're not. This time, things will not be conventional. Even the experts know that. Why do you think they spend $500 billion quarterly in the black budget? What? To fight a Middle Eastern war? Are you kidding? That's not where it's going. That's for materials. That's for mining things. That operation of mining costs a lot of money. That's to pay the people on board to do the big jobs and to keep them there. That's what that's for. It's for a steady recruitment process. So the brightest minds can replace those that are burned out. You never hear about them because they're recycled. Why would they let those people out in public? They're not working on those things you think they are. AI is one of the big things they've been working on. Wait till you learn of the progress they have made. Then they'll come out with a history and you say, that's what they've been working on. How many people did that take? How many subjects did that take? That's what you'll start seeing. When you learn that the government operates by advisements, and they've been doing that since at least 2015. They work by way of computer advisements. You guys do know that, right? Computer advisements. And you're doing exactly what they want you to do. They know how to maneuver people. They know. What do you think social media was for? How can somebody come up with the concept of social media and be a billionaire overnight? How does that work? Who loaned them the money? Who keeps it going? Do people really understand the nature of AI? Probably not. They probably don't. We can prove that right here in COT, what AI is capable of. We can do that right here in COT, just us, through access with the internet. You can see for yourself what it has capability of. Things are much further. Much further. I mean, the children, they're no longer born. Well, things will line up with the Word of God, but beware. The Lord warned us. It's going to be very difficult to find the Word of God during the time of the end, correct? They're going to oust the Word of God. So expect to see more and more people attack ministers. Expect it. It's going to become distasteful. The center of the tension that resides in many countries, this Middle Eastern issue, and all the tension is going to be dumped on Christianity. And I hope that everybody is ready for that. Everybody. Somebody said AI has no soul, has no understanding. Well, think of it this way. Your body without your spirit can do nothing. So a spirit that drives the understanding of anything, correct? There are more dark spirits on this earth that can inhabit things made by some pretty brilliant people than you're aware of. Somebody was very wise when they said the body is a machine a ghost can operate, and they were speaking in reference to demons, because demons desire to take over your bodies and they can operate them from head to toe, correct? What are computers modeled after? The human neurological system, right? You'll get it. You'll see, you guys will start to get it. And if you guys know about bit flips, then you know about your thinking near a computer. And you know that's way past chance, right? You can run the numbers all day. Your brain is intimately tied to the effects of the processor in those systems. So much so they have to have corrective measures for that. So they get data out and not your implied thinking. You make a difference to the electronics you're around. The electronics you're around are modeled on your brain. So it's not that the device is smart, but the thing running the device is smart. Now you'll get it. So that means something could affect AI and leave it a type of attitude and go on to and do something else, and leave it an attitude and go to something else, and leave it in a specific attitude. In that respect, you have a bunch of soldiers. We'll talk about that one day. I'll give you the full scoop. And the multiple layers, how it's being used in robotics. Because, believe it or not, robotics are fluent right now, so much so you wouldn't be able to tell them from a human being if they were right there in front of your face. That's how fluid the movements are. There's no way you can tell the difference. It blows your mind to see it. Doesn't matter who you are. Those things are fluid. We're not talking about Elon Musk's, his those coat hanger, duct tape robots. Those are like, I don't know what those are. But they should, hopefully they don't fool you guys. Hopefully they know. People are worried about the HR bill on anti-Semitism. Well, who can do something about it? Do you guys understand what that bill is for? Boy, that could be a... I tell you what, we'll address that one tomorrow, because that can be a very divisive conversation. You guys understand that, right? Plus, now I want to leave you with this. Listen to me. When you're worried about a bill like that, who has power to do something about that? Who has power to change anything like that? Who? That's where you use principles. That's where principles come into play. So the truth is, right? The truth is, you may not have power to do anything about that. It's too late. The bill came in too fast, right? You may have no power to do anything about that. Well, what is the principle of the Lord? If you don't have power to change it, whose responsibility is it? It is the Lord's responsibility. You're to cast your cares upon Him. But the question is, can you do that? I can assure you, He will not overlook that. But see, it comes with a penalty. Whenever they start doing things, I think it comes with a penalty. If it's a bad one, it's coming with a penalty. But you're in the same land, the penalty would come. And so the penalty has to be stayed to a degree. You pray and you trust that the Lord God knows exactly what He's doing. Never ever think, don't ever think because you didn't pray about something, it's not going to change. Don't ever think that. That's like saying God doesn't do anything and God can't move or anything without our prayers. He doesn't need us. He loves us. Please remember that. Please remember that. This will keep you calm, because if that bill hurts you, you might want to look away from everything that will hit the desk in the coming weeks. You may want to look away from that. If you think anti-Semitism is a problem, in comparison to next week, this week, anti-Semitism is not a problem. You guys do know what Benjamin Netanyahu did, don't you? Maybe you don't. Are they talking about what Benjamin Netanyahu did today? Is anybody talking about it? Anybody? No? Okay. Well, boy. Well, let's put it this way. The guns are hot. They're getting the guns ready. Everybody's getting the guns ready for the real deal. Okay, let's put it that way. So after this interaction, we're going to have some real anti-Semitism. When I say real, I mean to the point where people will do worse than what Hitler did. Now it's time to stand. To have your resolve fully placed within Christ. Because if it's not, the weight is going to be too heavy, and you will buckle. Lord have mercy. All right, listen, I'm going to see you guys tomorrow. Lord willing. But if we don't have everything tore up, I will most certainly see you tomorrow. Well, one way or the other, I got to come in here. I got to see you guys tomorrow. All right, one way or the other. God bless each of you guys. We'll see you guys next time, right here at the Council of Time. God bless and pray about that anti-Semitism issue. I may cover some of that at the midnight hour. We'll see. We'll see. My point is, nobody can do anything about that except those who directly affect it. That's prayer, so the Lord can do that. That's concerning His people. You better believe He's in the middle of it anyway. Anything having to do with Israel and the Jews, God's going to be right there in the middle of it. God help those who have positioned themselves against Him. See you guys next time.